We may not do maybe the exact actions that was taken, but we can apply the principle of it behind it. So it's very important. And when I read this story, I thought of Bradley. Bradley, I want you to hear my story. Shaw, Alex, I want you to hear my story today, okay? I'm just going to read it here. I come across this and I thought of you guys, all right? And Dennis, we can apply the principle. We may not do the same action, but get pretty close, okay? Are y'all ready? All right. I read the story this week about a scrawny kid. Y'all know what you know what scrawny means? Scrawny. A scrawny kid from West Texas who attended a small high school. They didn't have a wrestling or a wrestling program, but he read a book on wrestling, Brother North. And so he asked one of the assistant football coaches if he would enter him into some of the wrestling matches in that region. Well, the coach agreed to help this young kid, knowing this little guy was neither strong nor skillful. But he had one enduring quality about him. He refused to give up. He won every single wrestling match because he tenaciously held on to his opponents and wore them slap out. By the end of the season, he was undefeated, and he made it to the state finals for his weight classification. The kid's opponents, or his opponent then, was a two-time state champ and a bona fide college prospect. And as the scrawny kid faced the state champion, the guy made a couple of quick moves and soon had the West Texas kid on his back and about to get pinned to the floor. The coach knew his athlete was about to lose, and he could not bear it to watch it. So he turned his head away. You can just imagine that coach looking back, chewing his gum. You know, you see a lot of coaches, they get nervous, they chewing their gum. So he turned his head away. He didn't want to watch the little kid lose the game. Suddenly the coach heard the roar of the crowd. And when he turned around, his kid was on top of the state champ, pinning him down. He had won the match. The little guy bounced across the mat, and he hugged the coach and said, "Coach, I won, I won." The coach said, "You sure did, son, but I missed it. I turned away just before you were about to lose. Well, tell me what happened." The kid said, "Coach, that guy was good. He had me twisted like a pretzel on that mat. But you know me, Coach, I never quit. I refused to give up. So I opened my eyes, and there in front of my face was a big toe." "I don't even know, Coach, if it's against the rules or not. But I bit into that big toe with all my strength. And coach, it's amazing what you can do when you bite your own big toe." Bradley didn't get it. I don't think he got it. Bradley didn't get it. It's amazing what you can do when you bite your own big toe. I thought of you, Lydia. I thought of you. There you go. See. If you've ever been tempted to give up on God and His love and His promises to you, just remember that little guy. Take a grip on the promises of God and never let go, because God honors persistence. Amen? All right. All right, Sister Jean's already got my text ready here. She's Romans chapter 5. beginning with verse 6. This is through the NIV version. And that's the only scriptures that I gave Sister Jennifer or you guys. And if for some reason you catch any more of these scriptures, and Jennifer, y'all want to put them up, that's fine. I'll go kind of slow with them. But let's see what the Lord has for us here this morning. All right, this is Paul writing, beginning with verse 6 of chapter 5. It says, "You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates His own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." I'm talking today, the Lord led me to this, to talk about the unconditional love of God. The unconditional love of God. Well, what does it mean that God loves us unconditional? It means it's absolutely without limits of any conditions. He could not love us any more than He already does. He couldn't love us any less than He already does. Therefore, we really can bask in the love of God. Now, I understand that Sister Tara and Brandon, Amber, and others are planning for another awesome and grandfather-daughter banquet coming up next month for Valentine's. And when we think of Valentine's Day, our thoughts do go towards love. And when we think of love as children of God, we must think of the greatest love the world has ever known. And that it truly is the love of God, the love of our Father. And this morning, I'm simply going to talk to you about God's love toward us for just a little while. And I'm going to back that up with Scripture. So if you have your pencils handy, you might just want to write some of these little Scripture verses down for later reference. And you've got to understand, the devil hates that subject. And he will use every tactic that he has in his arsenal to stop it. And that's exactly what keeps then God's people living a defeated life, because they don't really even understand God's unconditional love for His children. All right, let's look at Ephesians chapter 3, beginning with verse 17. There's three verses there. Ephesians chapter 3. If you've got your phones, you can look it up there, or you have your Bibles. That's all right. The Apostle Paul is writing this letter again to the saints at Ephesus. And he writes this prayer, picking up at verse 17. Here's what he says: "That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God." I don't know about you, but I want to be filled with all the fullness of Almighty God. Amen. So let's understand, first of all, that God's love runs deep. God's love for us runs deep. And God's love has nothing to do with you or me and how we perform. Sister Jean, you touched on it this morning. Others may love you because you're cute and you're cuddly and you're adorable and you're rich, like Sister Jean, or just fun to be around. Or maybe they love you because you're family. How many know we have to love our family? Amen. But not God. God loves us simply because He wants to love us. He chose to love us. 1 John 4:16 says it this way, God loves us because God is love. Now listen to what God told the children of Israel, who at the time would have been difficult for even the most loving of us to love. Here's what he said in Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 7 and 8. Here's what he said. The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you because you were more in number than any other people. For you were the fewest of all people. But because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn to your fathers, the Lord then has brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of bondage, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Understand with me that God remains faithful even when we're not.
Amen.
Now, we're all familiar with human love. There happens to be all kinds. There's what they call puppy love. And there is grandparent love. That's a good one. And there, of course, is our first love. And there's a love for the arts, a love for chocolate, Sister Linda, a love for chocolate. She's not a chocolate lover. She loves the color red, though. A love for food. I better go on. A love for sports. And a whole lot more. How many know there's a whole lot more out there? And we also have all kinds of friends. How many know that? Fair weather friends. Have you ever heard of that? Long distance friends. Close friends. New friends. Old friends. And yes, farmer friends. This is all called human love. And how many of us know that human love is fickle? Meaning it will change like the weather does in Texas. And it's sporadic. It's temporary. And sadly, it is conditional. I'm talking about human love. But God is love. His love is unconditional and it's constant. And Sister Jean, it's perfect all the time. You can't influence God's love because God is love. Jesus did not go to the cross because of any love that you or I had for him or for any influence that you or I placed on him. Again, from our scripture text, Romans 5 and 8, God demonstrated his own love towards us in that while we were all sinners, Brother North, Christ died for us. He didn't wait for us to get it all together. Can we really grasp this morning, that Jesus must have loved us so much to do what he did for us? Because you see, our sins is what put him there. Those sins are what put him there. And so we look at some people and we see that they have money. And we see that they have a good job. And we see that they have good health. And they just seem to be living the good life. They have a good family. Their marriage seems perfect. And we think God must really love them. Just look at how much he has blessed them. Or we look in the opposite direction. We look at others and they have lots of problems. They're sick all the time. They're constantly poor. They've lost their job. And it seems they're plagued with family problems, marital problems. And we think God must not love them. Look at all the problems they have. Now, I want you to hear me very closely. Forget those kinds of thoughts. Look at your neighbor and tell them, don't even go there. Why? Because it's a lie from the pit of hell. our circumstances have nothing to do with God's love. When everything seems to be going wrong, God still loves us. Don't get out there blaming God. When everything seems to be going right, God still loves us. And if you want a gauge of God's love or a yardstick to measure His love, don't look at circumstances. Where do we look? We look at the cross. Jeremiah 31 and verse 3. The Lord, it says, has appeared of old to me, saying, yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn you. We don't give up on our loved ones. We don't give up even on our own selves. Don't you dare. And guess what? I'm not giving up such a cherry on America until God says it's over. No matter how far one gets, remember, until the end of time, as we know it, God's love will continue to draw us to Him. The Bible tells us that nothing can separate us from God's love. Go with me now to Romans chapter 8, and that's where we're going to camp out for just a few more minutes here. Paul wrote these words in Romans chapter 8, in verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Now let's back up just a minute. Let's look at a moment where Paul leads up to that statement. Back in verse 28, if you got your Bibles there handy, chapter Romans 8, 28. It says, this is very familiar if you've been in church, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. Now this is a demonstration of God's love. Let me ask you, what is all things that Paul is mentioning here? Well, it's all of the circumstances that arise in our lives. It's all the problems that arise in our lives. And yes, even all the blessings. Everything that comes our way, the good, the bad, and the ugly, God will see to it that it will work together for our good in the long run. That's a demonstration of His love for us. And then Paul gives us then a series of questions leading up to verse 35. Look at verse 31. Here's what he asked. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Well, that's a good question. One we've probably asked only in another way. Here's a way we've asked that. Where are you, God? Because right now it seems everybody and everything is against me. Can anybody relate to that? I'm the only one. Okay, it's all right. How about this one? Okay, Lord, where are you right now? I need you. I'm about to say something, and it's not going to be very nice. Two or three of you can relate. Okay, Lord, I'm about to do something. It's not going to be very pretty. You got to help me. I'm sure you've heard this before. As long as we are in this flesh and on this earth, we're going to have to deal with the good and the bad stuff that comes our way. And yes, we all face opposition. I said we all face opposition. We face it in our fleshly, mortal bodies. Why? Because we live in a sick sin world. We deal with sickness and disease and aches and pains. It's a fallen world, you've got to understand. And from people, we'll find some are hard to get along with. Can you believe that? Some people hurt our feelings. And yes, people will disappoint you. And yes, people will let you down. And yes, pastors will let you down and disappoint you. And then how about from circumstances? Guess what? Things don't always go our way. No, Pastor, don't tell me that. Sorry, I just did. So the question is really not how can I handle all that life throws at me, but the question is, can God handle all that life throws at me? Because as the Bible says, if God is for us, who can be against us? And while I may have problems with life's difficulties, understand God is not fazed one bit. He cares, but he doesn't lose any sleep over it. He's not up there fretting and worrying. You need to understand that God is greater than anything life throws at you or me. Now, is there a problem that God can't handle? Absolutely not. That's how much he loves you and me. And the question very often is not, can God handle my problems? The question is, will God handle my problems? And Paul answers that question in verse 32 of chapter 8 of Romans. He who did not spare his own son, but he delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Listen now, God in his love has given us everything we will ever need to meet life's problems. It's already done. It's already taken care of. And all we have to do, Lord, you show me how I need to deal with this. And if this is something that I need to walk through for a season, then I thank you because you're going to give me strength and you promise to be right there with me as I walk through it. And then he may say, no, this is an absolute attack from the enemy. We're going to deal with it. And guess what? He'll show you how to deal with it, or he'll say, no, you just stay quiet. You stay at peace. I'll take it up. I'll fight your battle. But with all of that said, we got to stay in tune with him. The Bible says God loved you so much that he sent his son, his very own flesh and blood, to die on the cross for you and me. Jesus loves us so much that he was willing to die on the cross for us. So if Jesus loved us so much to do this for us, do we honestly think then he will forget all about us right now? In our time of need, there's no way he's going to forget you. God has too much love, listen, invested in us to just walk off and forget about us now. But then we ask, well, how could God love me when I'm so unworthy of his love? Did you know the devil loves to use that tactic on people? We have to understand that God, our Creator, sees our lives. He knows exactly how we live. Nothing is hidden from him. Nothing we do in secret is hidden from him. Nothing how we do outside in public is hidden from him. He knows us inside and out. He knows when we fail him and when we fail to live up to his love. But Pastor, how could God love me? There's just too much sin in my life for God to love someone like me. Well, again, Paul answers that with the very next question. Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? Verse 33. It is God who justifies. Listen, once God accepts you for who you are and what you are and loves you anyhow, who else's opinions matter? Who else's opinion matters? No one else. Don't you listen to the devil's lies. And understand there will always be those people who will criticize you. They will condemn you. They will gossip about you. They will cheat you and do you wrong. And there will be those who find fault with you and nitpick about you and berate you and belittle you and accuse you. You got to know that. There are folks, there's evil people out there that do evil things. Revelations 12 and 10 even says that exactly. That's exactly what Satan is still doing right now before Almighty God. He's called the accuser of the brethren because he accuses God's children before him. Well, just look at Brother Tony. Did you see what he did day before yesterday? Well, God, did you see what Brother Bob said? Did you tune into those thoughts that Brother Gary had this very morning? And he calls himself a Christian? Watch this now. And Satan says, well, God, that just shows you how much they really do love you. And after all you've done for them, God, I hate the devil. And what does God do? He looks at the devil and he says, I'm sorry, but I don't see Tony. I don't see Bob. I don't see Gary or anybody else that you might be coming here and accusing them of. And Satan replies, no way, right down there. Surely you see them right down there. There's Brother Gary right there. You can't miss him. God says, I'm sorry, I didn't see any of them. When I look at any of them, all I see is my reflection. Hallelujah. Junior, all he sees is his reflection. In Colossians 1 and 28, here's what Paul wrote. Him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect, that means mature and complete, lacking nothing. Everybody say lacking nothing. Lacking nothing. In Christ Jesus, Brianna. In Christ Jesus. And so Romans 8:33 again, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Can we understand then that God loves us so much that he doesn't even see our sin? The New Living Translation says it this way. Who dares accuse us whom God has chosen for his own? No one. For God himself has given us right standing with him. Jeremiah 31:34, for I will forgive their iniquity and their sin. I will remember no more. You got to remind the devil of that. He will bring things up. He doesn't know. He can't read our future, but he knows our past. He loves to bring up our past. How many know that? Yes. You did that years and years ago. God loves you so much that nobody else's opinion matters but his. And no one can sway God's opinion of you or me. You've got to get that in today. Romans 8:35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, that means pressure and burdens, how about our distress? That's extreme calamity, the worst that you can think. Our persecution, our famine, our nakedness, our peril, our sword. Well, so Pastor, if any of these things come my way, does it mean that God does not love me? No, not one bit. Not at all. Why? Verse 37, Romans chapter 8. When you get home in this next week, read Romans 8 again. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who did what? Loved us. More than conquerors. Don't you settle. You're not a settler. Can't get over that advertisement about settling. We're not settlers. We don't settle for less. We want the best God has for us. So when we really understand how much God loves us, we can experience more than just an occasional victory here and there. Can you say amen? Amen. Victory really can become a lifestyle for us as children of God. And nothing can drive a wedge between you and God's love for you. Somebody needed to hear this today. I needed to be reminded of it today. Well, Pastor, I'm just not sure about that. Well, then let's go just a little bit further. If you're still not convinced, Romans 8, 38 and 39. For I am persuaded, Paul wrote, that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor, I could shout right now, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Jesus Christ our Lord. Paul said he was persuaded. That means he was convinced beyond a shadow of doubt. None of the circumstances mentioned here or any other circumstance, if there are any, can separate you from God's love. You've never lived a day, a minute, or even a second when God did not love you. You may have tried to hide in shame from God, like Adam and Eve tried to do in the Garden of Eden. But guess what? God still loves you. You may have deserted Him at some point, like the disciples when they fled when Jesus was arrested in the garden. But He still loves you, Brother North. You may have denied Him like Peter did when they asked him about his relationship with Jesus. But He still loves you. You may have doubted Him like Thomas, but He still loves you. In it all, through thick and thin, good times and bad times, God still loves us. We never leave His mind. We never leave His thoughts or His sight. And yes, even when He sees us at our worst, guess what? He loves us anyhow. I'm sure glad my dogs don't talk, because I can tell them some things, I'm telling you, and they can't repeat it to nobody. Jeremiah 31 and 3. Yes, I've loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn you. And so He keeps loving on us, even through the hard times in life. And as you're sitting then at the bedside of a loved one who is racked with pain and disease, God's there still loving on us. When we're sitting at the graveside after losing one who has touched our heart and life, God is there loving on us. When you weep because you've made some wrong choices and your financial burdens now seem too heavy to bear, guess what? God still loves you. Hallelujah. And me. Hallelujah. When you see your family torn apart and your marriage seems headed for disaster, guess what? God still loves you. When your heartache's because you have really messed up this time and you feel that God could never forgive you, God still loves you. Listen now, God could never love you any more than He already does. You can't get any more of God's love because God is love. He's just going to continue to love you. Did you know that some folks think that God will love them more if they'll just cuss less, drink less, or sin less? Some think that God will love them more if they pray more, or study the Bible more, or attend church more, or even live a better life. Listen, while these things might be an indicator of our love for God, we need to realize they do not impact or change God's love for us one bit, one iota. It doesn't change God's love for us. Well, how is that possible? Well, let's look at the Word. Romans 8:39. Paul says, nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Just know that God's love is not based on how good or bad we are. Oh my gosh, if it was based on how bad I am, I'd be in a pickle. Are we really then experiencing God's love for ourselves? Is God's love really real to each one of us? Romans 5:5. Wreath, come on down. We're almost through. Romans 5:5. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. We really do have the capacity to know and to feel and to enjoy and to experience God's love for ourselves. And it's because when you accept Him into your life as Lord and as Savior, guess what? He says, make room, Sister Linda. Make room. I'm coming to your house and I'm moving in. Today, let's make sure our heart is open then to allow God's love to permeate our life. Go to bed tonight and rest in the comfort of His love. Wake up tomorrow refreshed and bask in the sunshine of His love. And if you mess up, all you got to do is say, God, I'm sorry. You see what I did or what I said. You get up then and you keep going. Don't you dare give up. Don't you dare stop. Don't let the enemy win. Don't let him lie to you. Don't let him put condemnation on you. Don't let him shame you. You live in His love. Immerse yourself in His love, in His presence. Fill your life with His love. Let His love consume you, overpower you, indwell you, and surround you. And know this, that all things work together for good to them that love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. Am I looking at those who have been called? Yes, I am. And one last thing. If you ever attempted to give up on God and His promises, just remember that little guy. Can you believe he bit his own toe? Let's all stand together. Woo, Jesus. 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 Oh my gosh. John, thank you for being obedient today. Oh my gosh. Hallelujah. You just know God has, He's already started, but He's doing things in our lives. Don't be surprised at anything that comes your way. Because God is in our tomorrows. He's already working. He's got it all worked out concerning your health. He knows what the doctors are looking at, what the words they have spoken, what the test results were. That's not just for one person. That's for a bunch. Those listening and watching online. Yes, it's okay to know the facts, because it shows us how we can pray. We can be specific in our prayers. We can pinpoint what they're saying are facts. But guess what the thing is that overrides the facts? The truth of God's Word. Yes, we hear the facts, but we're going to stand on God's Word. He took on Him every disease. Every disease, the root of everything He took on the cross. It's been defeated. So it don't matter what the symptoms show. Doesn't matter what the x-rays, what the doctor's report, what they write. You got to know some of them do it for money, for greed. There's some greedy doctors out there. And if you let them, they'll keep you coming back every week, every month. Well, you need this. You need this. You hadn't had it done in 3 months or 6 months or a year. You need to go back. Have that camera put where the sun don't shine. And I succumbed to that. I did it. But that's okay. We do what we have to do. Don't you doubt what God's Word, and we stand on God's Word. And His love for us never fails. And what may be a bad situation, His Word tells us all things. He'll turn all things for our good. Amen. Amen. Whew. All right. Lord, I thank You today. Lord, I just ask that You let this Word just take root in our lives and in our hearts today. Lord, we're going to believe Your Word, going to believe Your report. We're not going to take and believe the devil's lies. We're not going to open the door to shame or condemnation or guilt to anything of those kind. We're closing the door to that today. Lord, we're determined we're going to stay steadfast, our eyes upon You, and we're going to follow in Your footsteps. You lead us, You guide us, You direct us. Lord, and Your promises are sure and amen in our lives. So I thank You now for what You're going to do this week. I thank You for the testimonies that we're going to hear come next Sunday of what You have done this very week. I thank You for that, and I give You the praise for that. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Would you worship the Lord with a hand clap as we end today? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right, if you need prayer, if you perhaps you've been dealing with some of that, we're going to pray with you. We'll pray with you right now. And if you have to leave, I understand, but God is good. You just know that. God is good. We'll pray with you. I love you. In the name of the Lord. We'll see you back Wednesday night prayer, then next Sunday. God bless you.